is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books, two to go. Still 2 hours of the big show. If you want to join us, we'd love to have you on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We'll go solo on 97.5 till 3, and then the sports mappers will join us till 4. Blitz will do the same thing till 7 on the simulcast. So take us along for the ride, fasten your seatbelts, and we'll continue to drive. We got some football out of the way with two of the playoff matchups for the most part, right?
Yep.
And well, I mean, we can get to the coaching stuff, but I mean, we got a couple calls, but I was going to say, I mean, we've got two other, do we want to get to those, the other matchups going on right now?
Yeah, I mean, we can't. Real quick though, I want to give a shout out to Marvin Pearson one more time.
Oh yeah, for sure.
He just lost his uncle and they don't have a means of getting the funeral paid for. So there was a tweet that I retweeted of his.
I did as well.
I'm going to retweet it one more time. If you guys want to help out, you know, as you know, Marvin joined us. He's the he's from Philly. He's the blind football player. They called in, and now he's a listener, a regular. He's going to be doing my podcast after he went viral with Ellen. So if you want to help out a suspect and you're inclined to do so and able to do so, go to my Twitter feed, at Barry is Funny or at Pac-Man Joel. You can find the retweet and help out if you can. But shout out to Marvin, man.
No doubt. He's had some stuff even recently to get through. So if you can help, and I saw your first tweet too, and I right as I was retweeting it and said, yeah, even if it's a dollar, whatever you can, I mean, it's tough stuff. So we appreciate that. Also, by the way, shout out, because she's not listening and she probably never won't be for at least 10 years. Shout out to Taylor, because we got the news last night late. She has been finally, what do we call that? Moved up to the 6 years and under class.
Oh,
starting Monday. And it also does me a huge favor, because you guys have no idea the agony I go through every morning when Lisa is so concerned about what she wears and has to pick out the outfits with her and go out there. Now, straight uniform, boys. Ooh. I don't have to worry about mixing and matching and tops and pants and shoes. That makes my life a whole hell of a lot easier.
Do they still do uniforms in all the schools? I know that was HISD was uniforms across the board, right?
I don't think public schools per se they do.
No, HISD, the public schools in HISD, there's a lot of them that go with uniforms.
Actually, Lamar High School, because when they had all that stuff going on recently, I did notice that they were wearing uniforms.
And that was years ago, too, because HISD, obviously, because of the whole, I think one of the contributing factors was the whole gang violence and the gang colors. So they
clear backpacks and uniforms.
Exactly. So that's kind of one of the reasons.
Is that still a thing though?
I don't know if that is, but the uniform part is. Yeah. I don't know if that's the reason why that they're wearing uniforms.
Oh, yeah.
But I felt like that was one of the main reasons why they went with uniforms, because they didn't want to. No colors, all the same thing. It was usually just navy blue and white.
Boring.
Well, yeah, because Lamar, they do the navy blue polos and the khakis.
Yeah.
And I noticed it this year when they had the kid got he was murdered outside of Lamar High School, and I noticed all the video, all the boys were wearing the same uniform.
Speaking of schools, I saw this thing on the news. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago, a week ago, but apparently something's going on in HISD, and they're looking at being taken over by the state.
Oh, did you see the governor go at it?
And whoever the head lady is at HISD was not happy. So there's one guy that's representing the state is out there. I don't know his damn name, but he holds a press conference and people start picketing and chanting, and he can't. He's like, you know, it's really hard to have a press conference if people won't be quiet. And I'm thinking, yeah, dumbass, that's the whole point. They don't want you to get your voice and have it heard because they disagree with you. But at one point, he's talking to the news media, and there's microphones on him and all the cameras. Somebody just runs up and dumps a bottle of water on this dude's head.
I didn't see
and
that.
And runs off.
I did see that.
And
I did
runs
see
off.
That.
And this dude never blinks. Like, he does not miss a beat. Just keeps going. And then after he finally finishes his sentence, he then stops and slowly kind of turns around like, what the hell was that? But he was cool about it.
Maybe he was expecting it. I don't know, but you're right. He didn't really have any sudden reaction when the water was being poured on his head. That was kind of weird.
It reminded me. I was reminded of that because today I saw a video online, and I don't remember if I saw it on Instagram or Facebook.
I think I saw it on Facebook.
But somebody posted a video of Ronald Reagan. He was doing a speech at the Berlin Wall 2 months after he was shot. okay? Mm-hmm. 2 months after he was shot, he's at the Berlin Wall giving a speech and a balloon pops. And he's in the middle of his speech and he's like, and we need to, and then all you hear is, pow! And without missing a beat, he goes, and we missed me. And we need to, he literally just goes, missed me when the balloon popped. Hilarious. I was like, man, I would have been running and screaming, ducking. Yeah.
Remember when
Reagan was
Bush,
a beast.
When W got the shoe thrown, at him.
But he ducked that thing.
Yeah, he did. He was Matrix style with that.
Yeah.
He ain't hit me with that shoe.
Yeah.
No. And this was the, and I thought this was really weird at the time, but this it brings more light to what you were talking about. Governor Greg Abbott like was tweeting, and his tweet was, what a joke. HISD leadership is a disaster. The self-centered ineptitude has failed the children they're supposed to educate. If there was ever a school board that needed to be taken over and reformed, it's HISD. Oof. Their students and parents deserve change.
Oof.
Like, damn, those are fighting words and then some.
Yeah.
So he gets started up there.
Pink Valkyrie validated. She said, yeah, HISD is still doing uniforms. It makes the morning so much easier. I would imagine it would make school shopping easier, but I wonder, is this the only place you can get the uniforms is from the district, or can you just buy any Navy shirt?
I don't think you buy it from the district. I think they have like recommended stores, I would imagine.
Well, I asked the school today, and Taylor's different. She's not. This is the Montessori school out by us that we just do, but they said you can either purchase it, they have some at the school, or they'll give you their distributor that prints them, and you can go straight from them.
But like, I think HISD is just like more of color-based, right? Like, oh, it's a Navy pants. And a white shirt or a khaki shirt.
Whether you can buy that anywhere. Navy or Banana Republic.
If I was a parent, honestly, I wouldn't mind it. I know if you're a kid, you probably wouldn't like it.
If I'm a mom. If I'm 16 in high school, I would want the chicks to be dressing all slutty and looking hot.
Yeah.
No, you don't get none of that. Yeah. I'd be mad. I'd be like, these uniforms suck.
Here's a scary thing, and this literally is. This was the scariest part of all this. So Taylor's on this kick wearing dresses lately, right? And she wants to be a princess every day. It fires her up. But Lisa came down shaking her head last night, and I go, what's up? She goes, well, she picked her dress for tomorrow. I go, okay, but she's been doing that. She goes, no, I'm not done. I said, okay, what is it? She said, well, I didn't know if it was going to be cold or not, so I was going to put her little biker shorts underneath the skirt. And she said, no, mommy, I want to wear pants, and then proceeded to go into the closet, and the dress was white, peach, and dark blue. And she found the pair of tights, pants, that were white, with peach pineapples with dark blue leaves on it.
Wow,
and she goes,
no.
I'm scared to death because now not only did she get it color coordinated, but it didn't take her more than 3 seconds. I go, you created that monster right there. That's what I'm avoiding dressing her in the morning.
That's all you. That's all you, Lisa.
I'm telling you, because nothing, as a dude, nothing is more terrifying than having your wife go to bed and go, now you got to get the tights right and make sure you do this. And then I said, here's the other thing. I'm out on hair. She's going with the same do every day, which is I run the brush through it on the way to school.
Ponytail.
If you want the ponytails, pigtails, barrettes, and all that other stuff, that's on you. Or you can make an arrangement with someone at the school. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I would just ponytail it. That's it. That or a bun. One of the tips.
Even something the ponytail easy for me with all that.
It's hard.
And I got fat fingers. I'm not doing it. I'll leave that to somebody.
Somebody said the uniforms are meant as a means to stop poor shaming some students who can't afford good clothes. Is that?
I mean, that's got to be one of the reasons. That can't be the reason. That's got to be one of the reasons. I could see that being as one of several reasons.
All right. I'm probably going to get in trouble for this.
There you go.
Should I bleep you?
No.
Don't turn up the volume.
I didn't have a lot of money growing up. I wouldn't say I was poor. But there were kids at our school that were richer than us and had more money. I went to Jersey Village. Jersey Village at the time was a nice neighborhood. It's just all the neighborhoods around it weren't. But so we had people that had nice stuff. I don't know that this feels a lot like a participation ribbon type stuff. Is this a thing?
See, because I'm with you. I grew up in a neighborhood where there were wealthier. I grew up in a neighborhood where we were poor. But we also had a high school that had some rich kids there as well.
Yeah.
But like what we would do is, I don't know if you guys had these here, but so my mom would get me the Pro Wings, which was essentially a Nike swoosh with one little extra line.
Uh-uh.
And I would get liquid paper and I would liquid paper out the little extra line so it looked like I had the Nikes that everybody else had. But I mean, I think it's a deal.
See, so I grew up where at Jersey Village, there was a lot of neighborhoods. I lived in a neighborhood called Winfern Gardens. It was a little patio homes. So it wasn't like we were fancy or anything, right? And a lot of my friends lived in a neighborhood called Carverdale, which was not a nice, it was a lower middle class neighborhood at best, okay, at the time. Maybe lower, lower middle class. But there was nobody rich in Carverdale, I promise you, okay? But if anyone was to poor shame anyone from Carverdale and their clothes,
get your ass kicked.
They were going to get an ass whooping.
Yeah.
So I feel like that kind of handled itself. Like, if you were going to make fun of a guy, you be prepared, because he or she was going to whip your ass if you did that. I don't know. I feel like that handled itself. But yeah. I guess we're in a much more sensitive era.
Ours,
and age
too, because
and
the thing is,
whatever.
Just by sheer numbers, there were a lot more of us that didn't have the money than the rich kids that did.
And rich kids can't fight.
No, they knew exactly. They knew how to pick their battles, too. Like, I could bust his ass on those shoes and those pants, but he could bust my ass in the playground, and I ain't doing that.
It's kind of a rule. Rich kids can't fight. That's you got money. You don't get the fisticuffs. Sorry.
That's pretty accurate.
Though. Somebody said, said teacher on break, yes, uniforms and clear backpacks are still code.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at the link. They update it every year, HISD, and it literally... It categorizes all the schools, early childhood centers, elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, and then it'll tell you the uniform, the list of the school, the name of the school first, and then they'll go through tops, pants, skirts, and tell you exactly what you got to wear.
Really? I feel like you're robbing the kids of the experience of growing up, too. Do you remember getting that school outfit? I mean, I maybe got two pairs of jeans for the year, but I got to go pick them out. And I got the, you know, like, especially so once I got into high school and I had a job and I was able to buy my own clothes.
Yeah.
By the time school would roll around, I was like, oh, damn, I'm going to kill him in this cross colors jumper with this cross colors hat. Like, I was so excited to be able to wear what clothes I did have.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get that now. You're like, well, damn, it's a uniform.
Yeah,
this is boring. This sucks.
You take the individuality out of it with everything that you do with the uniforms. But again,
nothing felt better than the first day of school clothes. You just knew.
Oh, screw that.
There was a bit younger that a comic did that he was like, ooh, I'm going to kill him on Monday. And you felt that way.
Not when I was younger.
Really?
My parents picked it out.
Oh.
I had like Coca-Cola colored plaid pants.
No, see.
And my dad was like, whoa, come here. Let me comb your hair. I don't need the Ted Koppel dude. I'm not. Chicks or something now.
Yeah. So. By the way, NASCAR Johnny kind of reiterating what I said. He was, I went to private school from K to 12. I loved it. We had uniforms. Maybe that's why I have no style now. I have no sense of fashion. That could be. You never had to color coordinate, so you didn't get made fun of. That could be the case. Hey, guys, real quick, I want to tell you about it's New Year's, and I know a lot of you guys are trying to lose weight. And if you need a place to work out and you're not really sure where to go, you don't want to go to the gyms with all the nasty, sweaty people and everybody all bunched in together and using the machines and not wiping them down, check out Vortex. Vortex is an awesome place to work out and get in shape. And they're Houston's first and only multi-sensory indoor cycling and boxing studio. You're like, what does that mean? What is a multi-sensory indoor boxing studio? So rather than just being some boring warehouse where it's just a bunch of bags hanging there and the lights are all bright and harsh and you just got a guy that says jab, jab, jab. You're not getting that at Vortex, man. The lights and the music and everything all at once is initiating all of your senses in your workout along with initiating every single part of your body. I've left there with my calves being sore from a boxing class. It's a great full body workout. The music keeps you pumped. The instructors keep you pumped. The lighting keeps you pumped and in it. It's outstanding, and that's what they mean by multisensory. I know you're going to love this place if you check it out. They're located at 1707 West Gray. You can call them at 281-501-3094 and check this out. Right now, you can for $40, you can get unlimited walk-in classes for 1 week to try it out and see if you like it. Why wouldn't you take advantage of that? Even if you're like, you know what? This isn't for me. It's only $40, and you could take as many as you want for a week. Listen, if you're getting in the weight loss challenge, maybe take advantage of that to get you kickstart yourself and get your weight loss going. That first week, $40, unlimited classes. Take advantage of it. Like I said, 1707 West Gray, 281-501-3094 is the number. But check it out online at vortextexas.com. It's the easiest way to get started. You can see the classes and the instructors and everything else. Vortextexas.com. Tell them Barry sent you.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, knee deep in hour number two, 3 hour show. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We'll be joined by the sports mappers at the top of the hour and simulcast through till 4. Blitz will do the same all the way up until 7. So, we've figured out the dress code for HISD.
Yes.
Solved the problems of the world.
Yes.
Got into some football.
Troy wants to know, Barry, did you shop at Chess King as a teenager? Yes.
Did you? Oh, those are the parachute pants?
Yeah.
That's where they came from? God, I remember Chess King.
No, my grandmother made the parachute pants.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, but the sweat, it was like a, was it cardigans that were big from Chess King? I think it was cardigans and Z Cavaricci's.
Well, and the members only type jackets, wasn't it?
I never owned a members only.
I didn't either, but they had the tabs on the shoulders, right?
Yeah. I never had one of those.
I've worn my dad's.
Yeah?
Yeah, a hand-me-down.
Did you know that they have shoes now, members only?
Stop it.
They have a lot of...
They look really comfortable.
I didn't really wear it that much. It looked cheesy right from...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. The Skechers that Tony Romo and Howie Long wear look pretty comfy. But when we did the remote at Prime Social, there's a Skechers mega store, whatever you want to call it, right there a block away. And I was like, oh, I'm early. I'm going to pop in there.
Right.
In person, they don't look the same.
Really?
Yeah. There's not that... There's not that 360 air comfort.
It doesn't look as
zooming out. No.
Somebody had mentioned first day of school and first day back from Christmas. I used to go to the pencil sharpener as much as I could just to show off my new J's and my new clothes. Yeah. Somebody said it was always Demetrius. He said wearing your concert T-shirt the next day after you went to concert was a big deal.
Yeah.
See, these kids get none of that now. It's just plain ass boring uniforms.
And I don't know, again, I don't know how you guys were, and I guess this is also kind of why they made the changes they made too. But growing up, we had starter jackets.
Yep.
But the starter jackets also uniform of the gangs in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So that's where they started. But any kind, before starter jackets, if you had any kind of team gear, you definitely wanted to bust that out at school.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Every time I hear Nick say Saturn, I swear I hear the Laurel.
Yeah, Juan. I saw that.
That's from Juan. That is funny. And then somebody suggested when we were talking about Minneapolis, Barry, if you have some free time, you should check out the Gay 90s in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is. I'm scared to even Google Gay 90s in Minneapolis.
If blue waffles pop up, you know you're in trouble.
Like stuff about Prince, I don't know.
Now, where are you on that? Because you know you always give me a hard time about the fact that I was a fan of Prince.
Uh-huh.
Prince's music. But I was going to say two of the things that I would say, they don't have to be must-sees, but if you're looking for things to see, they've turned his house and his compound into a museum.
Uh-huh.
And you could tour the whole thing and see. They basically left most of it untouched to where the way his studio and all that other stuff. The whole, and I'm forgetting, Paisley Park.
Right.
It's a recording studio. It's all that stuff. And the other thing is in downtown Minneapolis, it's called First Avenue. That is the club that gave the start to Prince, The Time, Apollonia, all of that. And it's still intact, and it's still a hot spot in Minneapolis.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's called First Avenue.
I have to check that out.
So those are some like landmarks that aren't like, you know, state landmarks and things that you're like, okay.
Right. I got to check it out. Maybe I'll do that. I don't know.
Go count and try and see all 10,000 lakes, because it is the land of 10,000 lakes.
No. No, thank you.
Now, who was the guy that left the glass of wine in the bathroom? Was that you, Joel?
No, it's still there.
Is it really?
It's still there. It's filled with water, I noticed.
Oh, it's water, not wine?
It's water in the glass. Maybe someone changed it. But yeah, if you're unaware, on Twitter, we got a tweet from Jong, right?
And that was Raheel, I think.
Raheel started it, and then Jong kind of, I think, actually he put some emojis on it, I guess. But we all got it going, who was the highfalutin one that put the wine glass in our bathroom last night?
I thought that was funny.
And it was sitting on the sink. First off, our sink is gross.
Mm-hmm.
And to show the general public what we talk about kiddingly on the air, it's a science project.
Well, that white stuff that surrounds the sinks, where does that come from? Is that like soap or old
it's
soap?
It's just soap scum. It's just the hard water soap scum stains. Yeah.
How's that fit into lawn and garden talk?
I don't know. By the way, I'm done being secretary. It's your turn to take over for the weight loss challenge. I've added some names. One of y'all can do it. I'm getting tired of keeping up with this. Every time they come in, it's your turn.
Barry's like, I'm not doing this crap no more.
They're rolling in. So I've added to the list. The list is in our folder. It's one of y'all can take the baton from here. Joel, I vote you.
Of course you do. So what do I got to do?
I copy and paste the names into the list.
Or
super easy.
From where?
It's in the folder. In our folder where our daily stuff is. Oh. It's in there. It just says 2019 weight loss challenge, and then as the text come in, you just copy and paste.
Joel is not completing that project.
No, I was wondering where they're coming from. Are they tweeting you, emailing you, or are they coming in text messages?
And then you just have them tweet you. Yeah, so from now on, we'll have them tweet your DMs instead of mine.
Okay.
I like this.
That's fun.
Mine have been flooded.
Okay, that's a good sign.
Yes.
All right.
It is.
Okay, we'll continue to roll on. Troy, you want to get on clothing talk. Well, we went from lawn and gardening to now we're getting into clothing talk. But okay, Troy, hang on with us. We'll get you next segment. Before we hit the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. Josh Pesikoff and his staff, locally owned and operated energy company. I made the switch about a year ago, over a year ago now, and saved, I'm telling you, I've saved over $1,000. I've saved more than that. They are fantastic. And the reason why I say they're fantastic is, first and foremost, customer service. Most big-time energy companies, you call, you get an automated system, you get frustrated, you get the runaround. Here, you call, you get a human being, and they ask you as many questions as you ask them, because they want to identify, is it for a business? Is it for your family? When do you use energy the most? When do you use it the least? And they go from there. You mentioned ESPN 97.5. You get a $25 bill credit right off the top, and the savings go from there as they get the best rate and the best plan for you. It's infuseenergy.com as well. But if you call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, they will get on it extremely fast, and they're going to be upfront and honest with you 100% of the time. And that means that in the rare case that someone else out there has a better rate and can give you a better deal, they're going to tell you, because they never want to be believed to be deceptive, obscure, trying to pull the wool over your eyes. They're not going to do that. It's 100% green energy at your fingertips, and it's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that always has your back. Check them out. Infuse energy into your life.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go in the big show. We're in the second half right now as we speak. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, as we've been having some fun kicking around a whole lot of topics in the first 90 minutes. And I'm sure we'll do the same as we finish strong. We had clothing talk, which just the whole subject line enough to put the fear of God in me after lawn and garden talk. After lawn talk, I see clothing talk and I go, oh God.
And
here
it's
goes
Troy. And
one.
As much as I love Troy, we all know he wears Wranglers three or four times
out
of the week.
At
the
very minimum. I was going to go overalls. I was going to say overalls.
I've seen him here. I've met you in person, Troy. I know.
Troy, what's up?
What's going on, guys? Nick, you're absolutely correct. I wear Wranglers every day, but this is a true story. In 1985, I'm a senior in high school. And I wore Wrangler shirts, Wrangler britches, and boots.
Hold on. No, I got to stop you. You, Troy, the fact that you said britches, not only is that outstanding, but it matches your voice perfectly.
Well, they're britches. So anyway, now this is a true story. So I start dating this girl. She's pretty hot. She comes to my house on a Saturday. She's got a Chess King bag, and she's got a Foot Locker bag. And she's all giddy, happy. Here, I want you to try this on. We're going out tonight, this, that, and the other. I said, what'd you buy me? She goes, I went and bought you some new clothes. I go in my bedroom, change clothes. I got a pair of black parachute pants, white Nike shoes, and a shirt that looked like Freddie Mercury would wear. I put all this on. I looked in the mirror. I thought, huh, these parachute pants, they make my stuff look pretty good. So I wore
them
out that night. I'm out.
No, God. Oh, no. That is outstanding. Appreciate the call, Troy.
That was great, Troy.
That was worth the wait.
Yeah, he owned up to the Wranglers as well.
I loved it. That is so funny, man. Troy brings it. Troy does a good job.
He stays. Yeah. We don't need a shot clock with him, and it's
outstanding.
Entertaining. Do you think? Let me ask you this, because you guys have lived your whole lives. It was a thing in the past, because I had friends of mine that I grew up with that moved here that did it. But do they still dry clean and press jeans?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they still pleat them or crease them?
I think the crease is not as much as the style as it has been in the past. Uh-huh. But I still think some people that exists. I think it still exists, but I don't think the whole crease is that popular anymore.
That's self-inflicted discomfort in my mind.
Yeah. It's all.
Cuz if you get that denim starched up, damn. That's like sandpaper.
It's a thing down here.
Trying to sit real fast.
I bet you Barry did that back in the day. You did the crease.
No,
when you were line dance teaching?
No, I never did the crease in the jeans thing. That was out. That was like when I was in high school, we wore cross colors and I guess Cavarici was a thing too. We had Jerboe jeans, but that wasn't the thing to crease them at all. We had starter jackets and all that, but it wasn't. Yeah, that came a little bit later once I was already out.
Cavaricci's had the white tag on the fly, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And they got real narrow at the heel, like as they went down your leg. Yeah.
They were tapered.
Somebody texted and said, I grew up next to Carverdale. Yeah, you would get your ass beat over there. They didn't play over there. So that's why I don't let these kids, man, let these kids learn how to become adults and live amongst each other. Because guess what? As you get older, you're going to have to deal with it at some point.
No, yeah, because it's supposed to be a motivating factor to an extent. You want them to, like, when someone else is wearing nicer clothes or have nicer things, that should be an incentive to a child to go get what they want, you know?
Yep.
But
totally agree.
Yeah.
You a big fan of the Broncos hire?
I was just going to say, what about the floodgates opening up and all these hires today?
Man.
I heard a lot of people say it's about time. Let me say this, because I thought about you last night when I saw the Arizona hire after we had been talking about it. And I went, well, the good news is I could not be less excited about the Packers hire until I saw what the Cardinals did. And I went, whew, at least we're not going to look like the biggest dumbasses on the open market looking for a coach when Kingsbury got there. Because we can get to that one. That was official. Bruce Arians was official in Tampa.
Well, tell the people who the Packers got.
We talked about it yesterday. Matt LaFleur, the offensive coordinator from Tampa. From the Tennessee, who had also worked with Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay. So we'll see how that works out.
Kingsbury went to Arizona.
Yep. So Kingsbury's with Arizona. Arians is with Tampa Bay. Freddie Kitchens this morning was named as the new Browns head coach. And the interesting side bit there is Greg Williams, who was the interim coach, was basically shown the door.
Relieved of his duties.
Bye.
Ouch.
After everybody gave him credit for keeping the whole thing afloat and being part of the success.
Yeah.
He gets shown the door. And then, as you mentioned, the Broncos followed suit, naming Bears defensive coordinator Vic Fangio. And as a caveat, he has to have Gary Kubiak as his O-coordinator.
Well, that'll be interesting.
In a lot of ways.
Kubiak's offense is effective, just not sexy. It's boring. It's a boring-ass offense, but it can be effective as long as you don't have, you know, Mr. Pick Six throwing the ball. It can be an effective offense.
Well, you kind of do.
Well, I'm just saying, as long as Matt Schaub isn't at the helm of that offense, it has been effective in the past. The Vic Fangio thing is interesting to me because I was like, I recall that name. Mm-hmm. He was a D coordinator here in Houston.
Was he the D coordinator here under Capers?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. And
because he's been a Capers guy. They were both assistants under Jim Mora with New Orleans, and so they were tight. I knew he was a Capers guy. I didn't know he was ever the DC.
Yeah, 2002 to 2005.
That's what I thought.
According to the wiki.
And it sucked. The defense sucked that whole time. So I was like, oh, this. But you look at his track record, and he's you know, he's had good years. I mean,
when Harbaugh was in San Francisco, he was the guy that kept that defense
last couple
good.
Of years in Chicago has been improved. So just that run from Indy to Houston sucked.
See, I love the fact that he's leaving the Bears because I'm hoping that brings that defense down a little bit because I do think he's a good defensive mind. Right. They've got Hicks and Mack and a whole lot of other things. But I thought he was due the opportunity. Obviously, the one that I mentioned at the start of this is the one that everybody's scrutinizing the most, and that is Kingsbury, because right on with what you said, you gave his overall record yesterday, and we were breaking down how he had no NFL experience and all these other things. Well, Damian Woody, who I'm glad ESPN lets him do this too, because a lot of times they really try to like curtail what their talent does on social media. He came out with an Instagram last night and said, let me get this straight. Steve Wilks, African-American coach, gets 1 year to turn the whole thing around, and they fire him. And yet he was the defensive coordinator. He had NFL experience. Everybody knew that he was the hot D coordinator a year ago. And yet you pick a guy who has no college experience, I mean no pro experience, a losing record at Texas Tech, and you're going to give him the reins and a multi-year deal. There's a lot of people hot about this one, gang. And it's not going away anytime soon for Arizona.
I've always thought that was going to be an issue, too. They don't give him enough opportunity. I think they go too far when they criticize when black coaches get fired that, oh.
That's another hot button right
that,
now.
That they got fired because, you know, they're African American. But I think they still don't get enough opportunities. That's for sure. I mean, they don't get enough looks at the very minute. Like Todd Bowles, like he probably should have been fired. Hugh Jackson, he probably should have been fired. I know a lot of people, you know, defend him.
Here's the, in order to, you know, have the right mindset around that, I would be curious to know how many coaches have been fired after one season. Is that a thing?
So,
like, because I get it. Like, if there's
organization, I can't really remember one.
I can't remember either.
Unless they got arrested for something. Or did something like
right
coaches that are not named interim coaches, like legit head coaches,
right?
And they've only served as the head coach for one season.
And again, this is like the Gary Kubiak thing we keep alluding to, which is owners don't like to give coaches or anybody free money. So if you sign a guy to a most coaches are going to sign a 3 or 4 year deal, and if you fire him in year one, you're basically on the hook for those other 3 years unless they get another job.
Right. Yeah.
So that's a big factor that. I can't recall that happening.
Okay, so I've got the list. I Googled it. SI has this. This goes back. This was posted to January 10th, 2013. Jim Tomsula.
San Francisco.
Was fired. The 49ers fired him after their last place 5-11 season. Mike Mularkey went 2-14 with Jacksonville in 2012. They fired him. Hugh Jackson was fired after going 8-8 with the Raiders.
I'd be curious how long their contracts were when they got fired.
Yeah, that would have to go. Jim Mora went 4-12 with Seattle and got fired. And Cam Cameron went 1-15 with the Dolphins and got fired. Bobby Petrino was fired after his 3-10 free fall. Art Shell 2-14. So look, Marty Schottenheimer.
Well, at least there's some names on there.
Ray Rhodes, Joe Bugel. Yeah, this is not an isolated. Pete Carroll, this is not an isolated incident.
But look at the date on most of those.
Richie Pettibone, wow.
It was a long time ago.
Lou Holtz, 3-13 with the Jets, fired after one season.
Guys, you just don't understand. The Jets are just not a very good football team, and I'm just trying to turn the situation
around. So while I understand the complaint, there is a long list of coaches, both African-American and Caucasian, that have been fired after one season. So I don't. To me, I don't. That kind of negates the argument. If this were an isolated incident where maybe it's only happened 2 or 3 times, and it was a Hugh Jackson, and you know, okay, I could see that. But you know what? They're picking first for a reason. They sucked.
And maybe people feel that way because
they
so
sucked.
Those names that you listed, perhaps they're like, I don't know, spread out or few and far between. And so it's hard to notice it, maybe. And then that way, when you see Steve Wilkes, who gets fired after only one season, like, well, that's because he's black. You know, maybe that's their thought process, or they don't know that all these other coaches have had opportunities for just 1 year and were fired, you know. But
I mean, here's the thing, because I heard Fred and AJ talking about this last night. And the one that I would argue of all the guys where AJ said, regardless of who was fired and what race they were, most of them, all of them deserved him. I thought the one guy that didn't deserve it was Wilkes, simply because you take the college analogy on the pro level. A college coach has to get at least 3 years because you need to get his recruits in, to get his players, his style of play, and get players that play his style of play. On the NFL level, it's really unfair after 1 year to turn around a situation and say, in 1 year, you got to be the Rams. You got to go from worst to first. You got to be able to turn it around that quickly. It just doesn't happen that easily in the NFL.
They went 13-3, 7-8-1, 8-8. In the last three seasons, they were 3-13 this year.
You also got to look at the personnel turnover and
sure, but they were 8-8 last year. You can lose some guys, and they supposedly got better at quarterback.
Well, and a rookie quarterback, no matter how much you have potential for the future.
Is he the GM? I mean, he's had some say in it. But you can't take a team that was 8-8 and 500, go 3-13, and stake a claim at keeping your job. I mean, that's the way the NFL works. A lot of these, they weren't even close.
Here's the other thing. Bruce Arians could, because the Cardinals still had his rights, he retired. If he was fully healthy, like he said, he could have just gone back to the Cardinals, but he elected to take another job.
Yeah.
So he got the hell out of Dodge, too.
The one retread, by the way. Remember we were having that discussion about the 6 vacant coaches?
Mm-hmm.
One retread. none of those coaches have head coaching experience in the NFL.
Wow, yeah.
With an exception of Bruce
Arians. Except for interim. You're right, yeah.
Yeah, good point.
Like, retreads are not going to be that trendy anymore.
Is that 5%?
That was way less. I said, remember I said.
Yeah. You said 5%.
And it was 0.8 of a person, right?
Yeah.
It was that's half close, a half a person.
It's closest without going over, sir.
I said 4 and you said 6.
Yeah, just somebody's leg. A reach, just somebody's leg that's been in. A leg that's walked the sidelines in the past as a head coach is back walking the sidelines again. Good call, Nick.
And we
that's
mentioned,
a good point, though.
We
mentioned 2019 cocky, huh?
You know when you're a good, you know when you're a good defensive coordinator, whether you're a good head coach or not, too, because Todd Bowles was hired immediately by Bruce Arians. He's not going to be without a job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just like Dirk Cotter in
Tampa
Bay.
People respect what he does. He just did not get any love this season.
Right.
He got hated on so bad.
No doubt. All right. We are almost done with hour number 2. We got one segment to go in that. Then we'll get hour number 3 underway and the Mappers will join us. So stay with us, won't you? It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just wrapping up hour number 2, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, over 60 minutes to go, so we'd love to have you along for the ride, 713-780-3776, HR&P Lister line. You can call, you can text, you can tweet us. We were talking NFL, a lot of football today, obviously. Mike McCarthy, the ex-Packer coach, has said he's narrowed it down to the only job he will consider and interview for is the Jets. Not sure that's a smart move, but that's what he has said. Kevin Stefanski, who was the interim offensive coordinator after they made the change late in the season and was a finalist for the Browns head coaching job, didn't get it. He's returning to the Vikings as O coordinator, which means Hugh Jackson will no longer be considered as Mike Zimmer's possible permanent OC. That was rumored. Mm-hmm. Hugh might go back. Zimmer and Hugh were coordinators for Marvin Lewis.
Uh-huh.
So that's just more the...
I think a lot of people, by the way, mistook what I said about Kubiak. Because everyone's like, Kubiak's offense has been fine. I said it's not sexy. I didn't say it wasn't effective. Right. I didn't say it wasn't a good offense.
You said it was effective.
Yeah, yeah. It's just not a sexy. It's not spread them out. It's a lot of bootleg, roll out, you know, three levels. You're going to see three posts. You're going to have two tight ends and a wide receiver, or maybe a wide receiver and a slot guy and a tight end. They're all going to run a post. And it's going to be bootleg action. That's what they do. They run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Offensives are zone blocking scheme. And then bootleg, pass it three levels down the field. That's the whole offense.
Tell you what, the other thing
and
about
it works. If you can run the ball, it works.
The other thing about it with Gary is he stays within his means. He knows what he's got. So he works with what he has. He made Joe Flacco and that Baltimore offense in a year look really, really good and effective.
And someone even said, watch out, he might go get Flacco.
It's a good point because Flacco's going to be out there free. I was reading an article this morning about teams in need of quarterback and teams that have quarterbacks that either they're going to get rid of or be willing to get rid of. And the one that's really sad is Washington because they moved on from Kirk Cousins. They got themselves who they thought was going to be their franchise guy in Alex Smith. And now because of how gruesome that injury was against the Texans, they don't know if he'll ever play football again.
They were just dumb to move on from Kirk Cousins. Let's be real.
I don't think so. Not to keep paying him 22, 24, max franchise tagging him.
I mean, that was their fault for max franchising. 7-9. They would have signed him 3 years ago. They would have gotten him at 3 years ago money. They had a guy that by all accounts was going to be a franchise quarterback.
But is...
I mean, I will say there was a lot there was Jets fans that I were talking to that wanted Kirk Cousins as their quarterback before they drafted Darnold, before they knew that they were going to get Sam Darnold. And now they're looking at the situation and saying, I don't know if I really wanted Kirk Cousins.
Well, who would you rather have, Kirk Cousins or Alex Smith?
I mean, I think Alex Smith for a lot of reasons. And Alex Smith can run.
Smith looked great when he had Andy Reid calling plays for him. When he was in San Francisco before Andy Reid got a hold of him, Alex Smith had the game manager tag. He looked better in Andy Reid's offenses.
But don't.
Kirk Cousins did a lot with nothing.
And
in
don't sleep on this year. He had them in the. Now, granted, it was a crappy division, but they were right in the thick of the division. So they weren't exactly crapping the bed with him this year in Washington. And there wasn't a whole lot to work with in Washington when you look at their receivers and their running backs,
I mean,
and their overall
team.
That
division produced two playoff teams. So you're, I mean, it's not exactly.
It turned out that way, but and that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
to my point, though,
yeah.
They were in it until he got hurt, and then it all went to hell in a handbasket. There you go. Mark Sanchez turned that into a real crapshoot, not a butt fumble.
Chef Ed said, "I think the Broncos will be closer to what they're supposed to look like with the defensive hire. QB in the offensive. QB is the issue. Keenum is trash. So yeah, and this is he's a lifelong Broncos fan. Yeah, I don't know that Keenum is the issue." I mean, the solution.
Issues.
Yeah, the solution.
Here's to his point, here's what I will say. And it depends on if Fangio is actually going to call the plays on the defense, but that should help Von Miller a whole lot.
Because you
saw, like you said, in Chicago, you saw what he did when he had a resource like Khalil Mack and Hicks and all those guys. If he can get his say-so and put his stamp on a defense that has guys like that on the field, they're not going to be too bad.
Yeah.
Because their defense kind of took a step back this year.
Yeah, it did. It did. And it's amazing, man, when you get the right coordinator. With because they've got personnel, they should have been better than they were defensively. So, it's going to be interesting to see. Trevor G said, "What do y'all think about the coach player fit in Tampa?" We'll get to that after the break. Mm-hmm. And then he said, "How do I register for the weight loss challenge?" You can just text your information in, man. Just that same number you texted to Trevor. Just text it in.
Well, and
name and email.
The other thing you got to take into consideration with all these moves too, and with Denver is that, like, say for the Broncos, Fangio's going, but if Fangio takes the Bears defensive staff. Some of them, that's going to give them a hell of a challenge in year two trying to replace those guys. So it'll be interesting to see.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we've got 1 hour still to go in the big show. That means the Sports Mappers are going to join us next. It is the usual suspects. That means it must be ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.